Hi everyone, this is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits into Health. What's this show all about? Well, it's about supporting you around habit change from a holistic and somatic perspective. I know that you can find your own personal path to turn around a habitual behavior that is creating problems for yourself or with others. And you're welcome to join us if you're in recovery from an addiction too. Maybe you want additional support so that addictive habit stays in the past rather than creeping its way back into the present. And if you're here for personal growth, to take yourself to your next level, thanks for joining us as well. We all need reinforcement for the changes that life brings, whether we've actively chosen them or not. In this podcast, we add new ways of approaching behavior change by drawing on your bodily experience. This focuses on your whole self, which creates an environment where you can take in the information that comes your way more usefully. This environment is a full partnership in which your mind plays a supporting role in your pathway to change, rather than having to figure everything out and know it all. And I call this letting your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. Let's summarize today's topic. The last few weeks, we've been talking about diet. It's one of the lifestyle habits that increase or reduce your risk of cancer. We can't any of us live without food. And there's so much out there to ingest that doesn't support health, or life for that matter. Well, it can be kind of overwhelming. So where on earth do you start? Today we'll take a look at sugar, because it's a main culprit in modern food intake that depletes energy, plays a role in depression and obesity, and numerous other conditions, including cancer. But here's the deal. You already know a lot about this, don't you? And what you don't know is a lot easier to find out these days thanks to technology. If knowing was enough, every one of us would be healthy, wealthy, and wise. For change to be sustainable, we've got to get underneath what we know or what we think we know. And that comes, in my experience, from tuning into the body in a different way than we might do at the gym or even at the yoga studio. This can create a receptive environment for learning, but it also supports you in reducing inflammation, which it turns out plays a role in creating cancer. So let's do a little exercise. Since our topic is about food, let's talk about self-care. Because we have to eat, and yet so much of what we eat might not be self-caring. Take a deep breath. And just consider something that you enjoy eating that you know is really good for you. Maybe you've eaten it already today, or you might consider having this food later today or tomorrow or sometime in the next week. When you consider this food, there's a visual image, isn't there? But maybe you can drop your attention from the visual for a moment and just notice how you respond to this food anywhere else in you. Like, for instance, maybe you have a memory of a taste. So check out what happens in your mouth. Does it water up? Or maybe you have a memory that's a smell. Just take a deep breath. Breathe in. Just breathe in and feel the air moving into your nose. Or maybe you just have a feeling in your chest or even your belly thinking about this food. You can take that breath in all the way into your belly. Take a moment to be attentive to your experience. When you eat something that is delightful to your eyes and delicious to your tongue, is it comforting to your belly and nourishing energetically? Do you feel this in you? Can you give yourself a moment to just feel? It's not just an idea. It's a real physical experience. You could even check in with, well, what do you tell yourself about this food? And what do you tell yourself about you when you eat this food? Can you let yourself feel satisfied Now take a deep breath and shift your attention away from this food. Notice how you feel and how you talk to yourself about it. In each episode of Habits into Health, I invite you to notice something in the moment, just like we've just done. The first step in creating change is just noticing what is. And the more you let yourself do this, the more you practice just noticing what is, not what you want to be, not what used to be, but what is right now, the better you get at doing it. Trying to make a big change when you haven't attended to the smaller aspects of your current pattern is really a setup for failure. And I don't want that for you, and I don't think you want that for yourself either. You are listening to Habits into Health, and my name is Michael Ann Conley. I'm your host. I've been helping people deal with habit change and addiction recovery and personal growth for almost 30 years now. And I've been doing it for myself for more than that. And I'd like to support you too. So if you'd like to know more, you can listen to other episodes of Habits into Health on iTunes, or you can go to habitsintohealth.com and just click on the podcast menu. So let's discuss this show's topic, which is to tell sugar sayonara. There are so many ways to say goodbye. So long, adios, farewell. Sayonara, sugar. And, well, saying goodbye to sugar is, it may seem near impossible, especially given that sugar is found in so many packaged products, hidden with names like fructose, corn syrup, dextrose, ethyl maltol, there's a good one, sucrose. The list I'm looking at is long and very sneaky. If you've listened to Habits into Health before, you know that I'm an advocate of noticing first as a way of dealing with change. It took me years to notice that ice cream was my drug of choice. Even though it may sound like a joke, it's really not. But since I wasn't going to get arrested for driving while high on ice cream, I didn't think I had any big consequences until I had an opportunity to experiment. What happened was I agreed to not eat chocolate as a part of a class assignment to give up something that I loved for just a month. What I hadn't counted on was the kind of chocolate I really liked was Rocky Road ice cream. Giving up chocolate itself was easy. Chocolate ice cream, that was a drag. But an interesting thing happened that month. I ended up not experiencing a bloated, logy feeling I would often get at that time of the month. I was so used to it, I hadn't even noticed. But this new information got me interested. And a month wasn't enough of an experiment. So I tried it again for another month. Having it be a part of a no-judgment research project made it a little easier to say no for that second month, and I had the same experience. And I did this for a while, maybe about 6 months. And then 1 month, I ended up chowing down with my favorite ice cream. That month, you guessed it, PMS, big time. Later, I discovered different connections with any kind of ice cream, and it made me realize that the combination of dairy and sugar was very toxic to me. And maybe you can relate to that. Might not be ice cream for you, might be some other kind of food. For me, I not only gained weight on ice cream, but over time I learned that this sweet treat drains me energetically, and over time can set the stage for depression. So that's why I say it sounds like a joke to say ice cream is my drug of choice, but it's really not. I'm not saying I'm perfect. My path here is a harm reduction model, not an abstinence one, although there are some things that it's good to be abstinent about. But I have learned to be very, very careful, and since those early days, I try to be very careful about anything that has sugar in it, not just ice cream. So here's the deal about judgment that I want to encourage as a takeaway for today's show. I could not have gotten anywhere in my situation if I had been busy judging myself for it. It takes a neutral attitude. The metaphor that I use is to be a scientist in your own laboratory. You're the guinea pig and the scientist. Be attentive to the effects that a food has on you. With sugar, for instance, your body will get acclimated to the amount of sugar that you feed it, and you'll lose your ability to notice its effects. You can find out a lot by staying away from sugar for a period of time, maybe 3 to 6 months, and then reintroduce it just as an experiment for a day or two. Your ability to notice its effects will be a lot stronger. And this is a good experiment to do with any food, because sometimes a craving for a food is indicative of a sensitivity to it. Sugar is such an insidious substance that it can seem really daunting to make changes in how much of it you ingest. So start with small changes. This might mean stepping back and seeing what happens when your daily cookie becomes a weekly cookie, and then eventually a monthly cookie. If your thing is soft drinks, the same thing applies. Pastries, cookies, pies, whatever. And if you want to know more about why it's not your fault that you're hooked on sugar, I put up a link on the website at habitsintohealth.com to Dr. Robert Lustig's world-famous lecture titled Sugar, the Bitter Truth. He's a University of California physician and researcher, and he wrote a book by the same name. If all you did today was cut back on one substance that has sugar in it, you'd be doing yourself a really great favor. So it's time for me to sign off for now. In the future, in other shows, I'll continue to bring this perspective. Holistic approaches, along with a somatic exercise, to help you tune in to your bodily experience. Both of these are ways to support you in creating a plan that works for you in changing your habitual behavior. I welcome your questions and comments at habitsintohealth.com. Remember, everybody can benefit from what you're learning. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits Into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks a lot for joining me.